Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. Good to have you with us on a Thursday, and we thank our Sports Look sponsors, Exchange Bank, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Petro Convenience, Gerber Electric, and of course, Hamada Wealth Management. Upcoming sports schedule here on Care Radio, back to the full slate after the Ravens having a week off last week. We have Friday and Saturday football tomorrow night. It'll be the Phoenix on the road. We're going to travel down to watch them at Perry LeCompton, a 7 o'clock kickoff here on Care Radio, the Atchison Phoenix tomorrow night. Then Saturday, Benedictine will begin conference play in division, and we'll be with them as in Wilcox Stadium, a 1 o'clock kickoff, 12:30 for the pregame, the Ravens hosting Central Methodist. Tom Couch with you. Gus Couch is here, and August, we got to talk about this. What on earth is going on in the football world, particularly high school football, where we don't see 14-7, we don't see 21-14, we see 70-2, we see 56-6. What is with all this offense?
We see teams that are more interested in playing offense than defense, right? Like, I mean, I think it comes down to every time you get the ball, you want to score, and on defense you're just like, if we stop them, we stop them, but if not, we're going to get the ball right back and we're going to go down and score again, right? And I think that's kind of how it's been. I mean, look at the numbers that Atchison's putting up, but they're kind of an outlier in the sense of, you know, up until last week where their defense gave up 56, they weren't giving up a whole lot of points, so... But, yes, it has been an offensive-minded season, if you will.
Yeah, and we even had an Andale team out of our area, but a couple of weeks ago beat the team 100-and-something to nothing. I mean, of course, the worst part of that is Andale is famously good, fantastically good, maybe the best team in the state of Kansas in any division, and some of their opponents just aren't as good as they are.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes that's the case, right? Like, I mean... You're going to see teams that are in some leagues that, you know, it's just their year and they're just that much better than everybody else that they're going to play. And maybe that's some of it. We looked at the Meadowlark last week. It was a good week to be the home team. As all four home teams won in the Meadowlark games last week. Atchison knocked off Highland Park 70-56, so Highland Park on a two-game skid. Sumner beats Kansas City Northeast 56-0. Wyandotte over Washington 22-0. Eudora beats Schlegel 55-7. And we talked about last week that Harmon had the off week.
Then you turn around right to the NEKL, and boy, the Tigers at ACC just continue to have a fantastic season. 54 points last week as they got by MHMA, the game that we enjoyed up at Guy Galley Field. Troy blanked Jackson Heights. A lot of people thought it was going to be close. It wasn't. 32-0.
Yeah, I didn't know, really, because, again, we have no experience with Jackson Heights, but we saw Troy a couple weeks ago, and their offense is just high-powered. I mean, they were kind of able to do what they want. They roll out some big receivers, some fast receivers, and, you know, scoring 32 points, not giving up anything. It was a good night for the Trojans.
No question about it. Good night, St. Mary's, as they were able to win at home over Jeff North, 45-0. McLeod, Valley Falls, we thought it would be a good one. It was.
Yep. How about McLeod? 34-28 winner over Valley Falls, so... Good for McLeod to get that win.
Riley County, a 44-3 winner at Horton. Silver Lake over Pleasant Ridge, 41-6, 42-7. Mission Valley, Oskaloosa. And again, like we talk about, you know, if you're not getting 40, you're not getting a win, maybe, you know?
So this week, games around the Meadowlark League. I'm going to tell you, I've never been to Perry LeCompton. I know you've been
right?
there a couple
been
times.
Been there a number of times.
But, you know, I have not, so interested to see that whole setup. Highland Park looks like they're going to maybe get back on the winning streak. They're going to go to Casey Northeast out of Missouri. Harmon, last easy game for them, in a sense. They're going to get Sumner. And then, what, next week they get the Hawklets of Rockhurst, so that's going to be a toughie. Wyandotte going to be at Blue Valley Southwest, and Schlegel will be out of Washington.
And the NEKL, boy, here's a showdown, right? ACCHS going out to Jackson Heights. That'll be a dandy.
Yeah, all the cards on the table, right? The winner of that is going to be the champion of the Northeast Kansas League. They're both, right, undefeated, I believe, in conference play. So It should be a fun game between those two teams.
For Marjo Matt Academy, the trip goes to Silver Lake out 24 Highway. And speaking about 24 Highway, Pleasant Ridge, they could share a bus. They're going to go to Rossville. You've got Jeff North over at Valley Falls, a short hop, Horton up the road to Sabetha, and Oskaloosa at McLeod. That could be another tight one.
That's a short road trip, right?
Yeah. So. And while we're talking about the high school games, is in our next segment we'll be shifting to college, but you got to give a little tip of the hat to Phoenix running back Jesse Greenlee, because last week he was the Max Preps National Player of the Week. 9 touchdowns, 335 yards, and in fact, he had scored a 10th time that was called back because of a penalty. That is just,
those are just good numbers.
What a great, great evening for Jesse. So congratulations to him and AHS.
When you talk about AHS, now jumping over to the district standings in Class 4A, Chanute out on top. They're the number one seed if the season were to end, right? And Chanute, their mascot? Blue Comets.
I love that. Oh, I love that.
Atchison, right behind them at 6-0, but at 72 points. Then you have Eudora, Miege, Lewisburg, Baser, all hot on your heels at 5-1. So this is a big game Friday night for Atchison to come away with a win. But if you're starting to look up and down and you're starting to try to figure out exactly how the playoffs would set up right now, you'd really probably be looking at another matchup with possibly Schlegel. So,
and it's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out again. I'm not a huge fan of this ninth week situation where you don't know until week 8 what you got going on, who you're going to be playing. But
taking a look at Class 2A, District 3, someone local here, you've got Silver Lake at 2-0, ACCHS behind them at 2-1, Rossville at 1-1. Pleasant Ridge is 1-2, and Morgan Mount Academy 0-2, but only down 26 points in district play. So that district will match up with District 4, which has Nemaha Central and Sabetha at 1-1. Position-wise, they're both 2-0. Sorry, then you've got Riley County in the third slot at 1-1. You got Minneapolis in the fourth, and then Horton in the fifth of the two districts, how they'll match back across. So something to keep an eye on. Then you jump down to 1A, and 1A is a little messier because they're bigger districts. You have, in District 3, St. Mary's is 3-0, Mission Valley 3-0, JCN at 2-1, McLouth at 1-2, Valley Falls and Oskaloosa looking for wins in district play right now. So District 3 matches up against District 4, which is Centralia, Riverside, Troy, Onega, and Jackson Heights. So again, we're kind of getting down to the end of the season where you're starting to be able to peer into that crystal ball and see how things are going to set up for week 9.
And it's going to be interesting to see how it all goes, and we're looking forward to bringing you all of that stuff here on Care Radio, so stay with us here on Sports Look. We're also going to tell you to stay with us because in segment 3, we're going to be talking to Activities Director, Head Football Coach for Perry LeCompton. Going to talk a little bit about what's going on down there. Going to talk a little bit about the upcoming game and just things and stuff. So he's a great interview. Stay with us for that. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. More Sports Look coming your way right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look. On a Thursday evening on Care Radio, we shift our focus to college football. And Gus, the Benedictine Ravens, and pretty much every team in the conference should be very well rested as they all move into divisional play and the games that, of course, really count toward conference championships. And the Ravens are going to be at home. We'll be up at, of course, Wilcox Stadium Saturday with Central Methodist.
Yeah, and we're going to get to see a Central Methodist team who, I don't know, I was bored enough last Saturday. I watched a little bit of their game against Mid-America because Mid-America and Central Methodist were the only two teams in action last week. It was homecoming in Fayette, and Mid-America came away with the 27-13 win, and for Central Methodist, that's about par for the course. They're 0-7 coming into Saturday's matchup against the Ravens. And can I tell you, I watched some of that game. they just look confused. They look lost. They don't look like the team we saw last year. And they probably shouldn't. They lost a lot of seniors off last year's team. They lost their freshman quarterback who transferred out to a Division I program. And so there's a lot of changeover. They had, you know, just some horrible incidents at the beginning of the year. It's just kind of a lost season for Central Methodist, I think, this year. And honestly, for me, I think the biggest question going into Saturday is what uniform combination will the Ravens put together?
Hey, I've loved that. They've got some pretty cool ones. We've seen a bunch of them this year.
Yeah, they got all kinds of, you know, combinations.
If you are really hungry for football tonight, you don't have to watch the NFL. You can also, you know, enjoy the Heart of America Athletic Conference game, because we, in fact, have a game tonight in Oskaloosa, Iowa. 6 o'clock ball game, as it'll be Grandview at Penn.
It'll be a bad game, and I still think it might be better than the Thursday night game, and we'll talk about that in segment four. But, yeah, Grandview's going to be going on the road to William Penn. That's always kind of a rivalry game, if you will. Those two teams, you know, not that far apart. What, probably 40 minutes or so? 45
minutes.
Oh, topped,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Again, we always talk about Oskaloosa. There's just no straight, you know, path there. So, but yeah, they came out of the conferences together. They came into the Heart of America Athletic Conference together. So I think there's enough history there. I just don't think that it probably turns into much of a game. I think that Grandview probably steamrolls them here.
And as we move into the second half of the season, the games then all become afternoon games on Saturday, with 1 2 o'clock game, the rest of them are at 1.
And they all become important now, right? Like, you could have afforded to lose a game, possibly two games in the first half of the season, and then, you know, run through the South Division or the North Division. But now they all count, right? Like, you're going to get yourself in trouble losing anything here on out.
And I would just go out on your limb and say there's going to be one unbalanced game, one kind of a runaway game. The rest of these games are going to be really, really, I think, well competed, very close. You're going to have Prairie State at Clark up in Dubuque at Dalzell Field at 1 o'clock Saturday. I think that's going to be a great game. You're going to have Missouri Valley down in Nixa at Eagle Stadium, Missouri Valley at Evangel. I think that's a close one. You got Graceland going over to Poulton Stadium at Canton. I think that could be a close game. And the 2 o'clock game, Baker at the ODAC with Mid-America. Or no, Baker at Mid-America. At Mid-America at homecoming, and they're going to play this thing on campus. Bring a folding chair.
Yeah, did you see they were painting the stripes on the field? And I'm laughing because if you watch that little video they put out, the guy that's painting the field with the big, you know, bucket hat on, just at a quick glance, kind of looked like Rocky Lamar out there painting the field. And I'm going to tell you, maybe he was, because
he's a team guy.
There you go. Yeah, Mid-America trying to get – they've got some plans for possibly putting a stadium back on campus, and I don't know how far, how close they are to those things happening. But every once in a while, they will play a homecoming game on campus, and they're going to try that on Saturday. So, again, I really think that game is probably good for multiple reasons. I think Mid-America can score. I don't think Baker is as good as they have been. And with it being homecoming and it's on campus, I mean, that might add a little extra pop for Mid-America. I think that could be a good game. Like, I think all of these games, they could go either way, right? There's two games. I don't think Grandview and Penn turns out to be a game. I don't think Benedict and Central Methodist turn out to be a game. But I think every other game in the conference, if you tell me that X won, I'd be like, okay, I could see that. I mean, I'm not going to be floored by anything this week.
So there you have the conference as it shapes up for it this weekend. And then, of course, in the conference, standings, really, Mid-America's on top in the very first poll because they played that first game with Central Methodist. So Mid-America is 1-0, no other team with a conference game. And, of course, Central Methodist is that 0-1 team.
So we talked about last week on Sports Look. You said Benedictine was going to be idle. I said they were not, right? I said they're going to be idle in the sense they're not going to be on the field. But I knew that they would move up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and we should talk to Moody sometime. February is moving month for basketball, so is October moving month for football?
I think I may be right.
I'm going to have to just check with him and make sure I'm using that correctly. But for the Ravens, they did move up in the national polls. They moved up to, what, number 8 in the country.
Yes.
And so you look at it, the top four stayed the same, right? Morningside, Grandview, Lindsey Wilson, Northwestern, Iowa. 7, Indiana Wesleyan moved up to 5 because Marion lost. You had Bethel, Tennessee at 6, College of Idaho at 7, Benedictine at 8. Bethel, Kansas moves from 12 to 9. You look up and down. There are some teams that we're familiar with. How about Texas Wesleyan? That could be an interesting playoff matchup at number 19, you know, out of the Fort Worth Metroplex. You also have Kaiser bumping into 20. Waldorf, Will Finley's team, up to 22 in the country. And looking at their schedule, they've got a shot to make some things happen. And then Avila bumps back into the top 25 at 24 as KW falls out of the top 25. And they'll fall to like 27-ish if you go off of points. So
for Benedictine, how much better can it be as you're getting ready to begin the conference portion of your schedule? You are in the top 8 in the nation, and all you got to do is win 5.
Yeah.
And it's all that simple.
But you know what's nice about this right now? Now you're high enough that you don't have to look for any help. Like, you control your own destiny. You went out, whatever happens, I mean, happens, but you're into the dance. You're not sitting there going, okay, I need to hope this team loses and that team loses and maybe we can get to, you know, this spot and maybe, I mean, now you control your own destiny, went out, start thinking about the playoffs.
And we're going to think about watching them do just that. Again, Raven football here on Care Radio on Saturday, 12:30 pregame, 1 o'clock, Wilcox Stadium, Benedictine football at home. We'll be back. We've got a little interview coming up we'd like to share with you, and then we'll have more on Sports Look right after this. We've got Mike Paramore with us. He's the AD at Perry Lecompton High School. Mr. Paramore, we appreciate your time. How are you today?
Hey, fantastic. Appreciate you guys giving us some time to talk.
Let's just dive right in. Fall sports at Perry Lecompton High School, it's a busy, busy time, and you've got a lot of activities going on for your students there.
Yeah, a lot going on this fall. Fall is, you know, it's a great time, and it's, you know, back to school, and you want to start the school year out with a good fall and have your activities going strong and kids involved in things. And for our fall activities, we offer football, volleyball, we got cross country, we got girls tennis. And so it's a great way for our kids to get involved and go out and represent Perry Lecompton High School.
Let's just jump in. I've got a soft spot in my heart for the cross-country kids. I ran that years ago. You couldn't tell by looking today. But it's a sport where fans don't necessarily get to go out and watch the kids, but they work so hard.
Absolutely, they do. And I've always said that, you know, to be a distance runner, that's one of the non-glamorous things. You got to go put in a lot of work and a lot of miles that are away from when you compete and away from when people are actually watching what you do. But then they get out on the course, it's their time to shine and go see what they can do. We got our league meet coming up here on Thursday, and excited to see what our kids can do.
Have you had a nice turnout of young student athletes?
It's been good. We've had a little higher numbers in the past. I haven't been as high this year, but you know, our coach Casey Packard has done a great job with that program and has been doing it a long time. And you know, always seems to get the best out of the kids when it's their time to perform.
Let's talk volleyball, because like other seasons, it's winding down really fast. Tell me how the Lady Cavs are coming along.
Yeah, next week is our final competition week. Then we start heading into the sub-state competition. Our girls are kind of struggling a little bit. We're right now 10-21, but been highly competitive. Have played in the rugged Big 7, which athletically is a very challenging league in Northeast Kansas. It seems like the Big 7 always puts out teams, pick your sport, that are competing at the state level, if not winning a state championship. So,
Mr. Paramore, you talk about the Big 7, and you are, well, not a new member of the conference, relatively new. How are you feeling? How's the fit? How are you enjoying this great competition this conference provides?
The Big 7 is a tremendous league. I mean, for me, from a football standpoint, I mean, we've got to be prepared every week and go out, and we've got some great coaches and teams that are – extremely well prepared and have a lot of talented kids. There's no really off week for us in the Big Seven, and as coaches, I think we have a lot of camaraderie and a lot of pride in what we do. And you know, talk about if you go through the Big Seven schedule and you can get yourself in a chance to be in the postseason, you're definitely battle tested and well prepared, not only against the level of competition, but the things you're seeing. You know, we see anything from a spread offense to a double tight get after you run the football. Same thing in volleyball. Very competitive league, plays at a high level. A lot of teams that are competing in the postseason and pushing into state tournaments, if not winning state tournaments. It's just overall in everything that the Big Seven does, it's a tremendous league. You're going to get challenged every night you step out on the court, on the field, on the mat, on the track, on the diamond. It's extremely good league, and we love playing in it because it helps our kids be prepared.
You talked about having girls tennis in the fall. Now, this is a sport that not a lot of the schools, certainly way up here in the northeast corner of the state, get a chance to participate in. Sounds like a great fun time. How's that going?
It's going well. It's great to have a tennis program. We host a tournament every year, too, that we host over at the facilities at the Sports Pavilion there at Rock Chalk Park in Lawrence. And that tournament's been an excellent tournament. We bring in eight teams, and every year out of that tournament, you're seeing kids that are going on, if not winning state championships or earning state medals. So it's been a really solid tournament. It gives us another alternative for our kids to find something to be involved in and represent their school in the fall. So we're excited to have girls tennis and hope that program continues to grow. This year we had eight girls out, but I feel like the future for it's strong and going to be bright.
Now, of course, we've saved the most fan popular for last as a football team, and you guys have really developed a strong tradition of competitive teams, quality teams, and teams that, frankly, all of your opponents are like going, oh, man, it's Prairie Le Compton week.
Well, we've worked hard to build the program up. I've been here, this is my 22nd year of being the head football coach, and, love our kids and love that the community really supports the football program. They support everything, but, football's important here, and they come out on Friday nights, and we've been very fortunate for the last few years to have some pretty good teams that had a chance to play for state championships in 2019 and 2020. Just weren't quite good enough to beat Andale at that point in time, but our kids work hard at it. Football's important to them, and we like to feel like when we're going to go out there, we're going to put on a good performance, and our kids are going to play extremely hard.
And when you talk about good performance, you're performing against some of the best teams around. You mentioned Andale, of course, in the postseason, but even in your district, man, it's a tough row.
Yeah, it's been some challenges, and it seems like your road, even though you're on the eastern part of the state, you look at who we've had to fight to get out. I mean, we've had to go play Hayden, we play Holton, and those have been big football games, semifinal type games, and you got to battle to get out of northeast Kansas just to have a chance, because there's some really good football that's played up in this part of the state, and it prepares you, but you got to definitely be ready to go on Friday night.
Now, this Atchison game, let me make sure I'm clear. It's not a district game, right?
Not a district game. That's correct.
So how do you end up getting the Phoenix on the schedule? It's a nice match and a great geographical kind of a matchup.
Yeah, we've played Atchison in the past back when we were 4A and kind of matched up. They were in our district for several years and have had really good matchups with them. But then when we dropped down to 3A, the district 4A don't do the districts anymore. And then in 3A football and below, we went to five-team districts instead of six. So somewhere in your district now, they're left a bye opening. And we were able to match up with Atchison. I've known Coach Smith a long time. He's done a great job with that program, and they got a tremendous team this year. Man alive, somebody asked me the other day what you'd say, and I'd say dangerous, because they got some athletes, and their offense is clicking, and they got a good-looking group.
And it will change maybe a little bit away from, the athletic things as your activities director. And there are a lot of other activities that your students are participating in. Any other particular things coming up this fall, like some of the Knowledge Bowls or maybe a theater performance or something?
Yeah, absolutely. We got our fall musical coming. They're in preparation right now, and then that performance will be here in about 3 weeks. Got a lot of kids in the school that are involved in that, and they've done a nice job. And there's you talk about something that people don't realize how much work goes into for a performance. This is one of those things. I mean, they've been preparing since August to put this thing together through auditions and then the practice time and the choreography, and set development. There's a lot of things that happen with that, and that's a lot of work, and they've always done a nice job with their performance. Our Scholars Bowl group is just getting ready to kick off their season here. They start here late fall. That season runs through the winter time. We also got a debate that we offer for our kids. There'll be a speech and forensics program that take off in the spring, and then, you know, our kids are involved in band and involved in vocal music, and a large part of our school is involved in those type of things. So it's great to see kids involved. I think we did a study last year of kids that were involved in extracurricular activities of some kind, whether sports or knowledge bowl or debate or band or vocal, and it was something like 82% of our kids are involved in those things, and that's what we want. We want our kids to be involved and out, you know, representing Paralee Compton.
And it's got to be rewarding for you as the AD and your staff, your coaches or the sponsors of the different programs, you know, to be able to see the real positive impact that these things make in your students' lives.
Absolutely, and believe in those things. I think that's an important part of the educational process. You know, the classroom stuff, obviously extremely important, but the extracurricular stuff that goes along with it, and, you know, you can read all the studies and everything you want. Those things are valuable, and they're a major part of the educational process, and those kids that are involved in them are showing to be high achievers. They do well in the classroom, and I think that value that comes from being involved is important.
Mike Paramore, AD at Paralee Compton High School. We appreciate your allowing us to steal away some of your valuable time here today, and we appreciate that, and we wish the very best to you and to the cause. Go cause!
Absolutely. Hey, I sure appreciate the time, and always love talking about Paralee Compton. Really proud of this place, and I love working here, and like you said, hey, let's go cause.
Back with you here on Sports Hook as we move to the rapid fire segment. And well, Gus, last Monday night, it was crazy. A lot of people had written them off. You can never write off 15 as the Chiefs come from behind in stunning fashion. They did a lot of things that would have allowed them to lose too. Yeah, miss an extra points, miss a field goals, all of this stuff. Yet somehow they win.
Yeah, and you look back over that game and you start thinking about a lot of things. People are going to say, oh man, what about the Chris Jones roughing the passer penalty? That, you know, was it, was it not? Can I tell you what I really stood out to me as the biggest play of the game was right before half when 15 gets him into field goal range, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City hits the field goal right before half, which is what, the longest field goal in Arrowhead mm-hmm. history
yep.
by a guy who may or may not be on the team this Sunday.
I'm going with not.
Yeah, I just don't know with Butker being out.
Well, he's practicing now, though.
Yeah, but anytime you're talking about an ankle injury and a kicker, and late in the game, everybody's like, oh, I like Andy Reid going for two on that one to make it 9 points instead of just eight. I really don't think that's what it was. I think he's like, eh, I got a 50% shot of making the two-point conversion. I got a 50% shot of making the field goal. He said, let's just probably roll the dice and go for two. Now, do you know that? No, but it's one of those things that makes you think, yeah, I mean, he probably had more faith in his offense than he did his kicker, and sometimes I don't have a problem with that. But yeah, Kansas City, when it comes down to it, they were able to, you know, score enough points there in the second half. The defense didn't look great, but again, I don't think they look awful. Like, we've seen some really bad Chiefs defenses, and that's not what we saw Monday night.
No, they did pretty good. The phantom roughing the passer call, which is going to be, I think, more prevalent in the course of the season as it goes along and players get injured. The shield is going to do more and more things to try to protect those, you know, the big name guys especially, but everybody in general. And so I think that you're going to see that continue to evolve, and they're just going to be careful. And I don't know what a defender is supposed to do. I mean, I there's just no good answer for them.
You know, in that game where Patrick Mahomes got kind of slung to the side one time, and it was very reminiscent of the Tom Brady play the day before where Tom got the penalty, Patrick didn't. Now, I don't like the penalty either way. Like, I don't think they should have called it when Patrick got slung to the ground, just as though I didn't think they should have called it when Brady went down. But I think that's the problem right now with roughing the passer, is it's kind of turned into a catch, right? Like, you're not completely sure what is constituted as a catch, because there's just so much gray area. I feel like that's where we're going to see roughing the passer kind of evolve into.
Well, anyway, it was a great win for Kansas City, one that they needed, but it gets no easier. Matter of fact, it gets way more difficult for the Chiefs. If they struggle with the Raiders at home, you've got to wonder how they're going to handle the Bills. They have to be a different team than we saw Monday.
How crazy is this? Patrick is going to be an underdog for the first time in a regular season game at Arrowhead. I mean, he's been a quarterback long enough that this probably should have happened prior to now. But the Bills are coming into Kansas City for the 325 game on Sunday, and Buffalo, a 2.5-point favorite. Wow. I think both these teams scream past the over as, you know, an over-under of 54 points for Sunday's game.
It's a lot of points, but I think you can fairly expect a lot of points between these two teams. It'll be high-flying, and it's going to be a great game. Just surprised they didn't flex this one.
Yeah, I think CBS has this game, and they were not letting go of it, I think, is what you're hearing from the national media.
Now, you talked about tonight's game, that the Heart of America game might be better than this. What are you talking, Commanders, Bears? You know, two of the storied teams in the NFL.
And two of the teams that maybe should just be retired from the NFL, right? Like, I mean...
It could be, again, we talk about sometimes evenly matched teams provide competitive and entertaining games. It could be that.
Yeah, it's got to be better than last Thursday's game where we saw nothing but field goals, right? There is no favorite in this game. The money line is even right now. And we talked about the Chiefs and Bills. Over-under was 54. The over-under for the Commanders-Bears is 38. I mean, that's one of those things where, you know, they're figuring these two teams don't get three touchdowns apiece tonight.
Well, we've got other games to talk about. How about the Dolphins, man? They're struggling a little bit. The Vikings are struggling a lot. It's a noon game in Minnesota. Minnesota's a favorite.
Yeah, Minnesota's a little bit of a favorite here. I think the Dolphins, you know, trying to figure out what to do with the quarterback with Tua out. Bridgewater gets a concussion a week before. So Skylar Thompson had to come in last week. And, again, Skylar was good at K-State. He's adjusting quite a bit, and I don't blame him at all because, again, you had no intention of playing this year, right? You came in as a third guy on the depth chart. Like, hopefully you're not seeing the field, and especially if you're the Dolphins, you don't want him to see the field this year. And here's the deal. You know how I kind of gauge that things aren't going well in Miami? The team captains came out yesterday, and the media kind of made a deal about it that they removed the ping pong tables from the locker room. I'm like, if you're worried about the ping pong tables, like, you guys have other things to be worried about, okay?
Well, I'll tell you what, we talk about quarterbacks and getting a guy an opportunity. Let's talk Cooper Rush.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a guy who has come in replacing Dak Prescott, who got the fat contract and everybody thought was going to lead the Cowboys, you know, maybe to the promised land this year. They thought they had all the ducks in a row. Jerry's spent a lot of money. Dak goes down, struggled early in the season, hand injury. Didn't look like a bad injury. Must have been, you know, I'm no doctor. Probably, obviously, was much worse than it would have appeared initially. And now, Cooper Rush is leading this Cowboys team, and they're playing about as good a football as anybody.
Yeah, I mean, week in and week out, they just continue to win, right? They were able to knock off the Rams last week. And everybody says that the Cowboys' defense is good, and they're really good. But they're not really completely carrying this team. I mean, I think the offense is playing complimentary football right now. And I think that, you know, Dak is going to play because he is the big money guy. But they should be really happy with what they've gotten Cooper Rush. And you know how in the offseason the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill, and everybody thought they were crazy. If I were the Cowboys, I wouldn't be scared to answer the phone in the offseason if somebody called about Dak, you know? I mean, you have Cooper Rush, who has played well enough, and I just think that he doesn't put you in the spots that sometimes Dak gets you into.
Cooper Rush, by the way, you know he's an old Chippewa,
yep,
right?
Yep, Central Michigan.
Yes, mm-hmm. But did you know his high school? Lansing Catholic High School in Lansing, Michigan. So he's a Michigan kid through and through.
Because what was it? Was it the Bahama Bowl 2 years ago, maybe, that he threw like 7 touchdown passes or something in that bowl game, and including the huge play at the end of the game? That's the only real reason I remember all of that.
Chargers, what do you say about that?
If the Shield tries to force another Broncos primetime game on me, I think I'm going to throw up, because watching the Broncos play football makes you a little ill. They're bad, and Russell Wilson's not good, and I always laugh when this happens. a guy isn't playing as good as he should be. Chiefs did this a few weeks ago with Orlando Brown. Then they come out and say, oh, he's got a knee issue after he's gotten beat like three straight weeks. Russell Wilson can't throw the ball 25 yards down the field. And so what did the Broncos do after the game? Well, he's dealing with a lat issue. I'm not saying he's not dealing with a shoulder issue, but I always laugh that teams bring these up. Tell me about it before the game. Hey, Russell's dealing with a shoulder problem, but he's going to fight through it. Don't go out there, look terrible, lose a game for your team week after week, and then finally come out and tell me that.
Tell you what, we can shift our views a little bit over to college football real quick. Kansas has fallen to number 19. They are at Oklahoma. There's some crazy stuff about this. Oklahoma's on a skid. KU lost its first game last week. Kansas has not won in Norman since 1996. And Oklahoma had not been shut out since 1998 until last week.
Yeah. And do you remember last year when Oklahoma went to Lawrence and Kansas like had them on the ropes
yep.
until the very end? And that was a really good Oklahoma team. So do I think Kansas goes into Norman and wins? Probably not. But can they? Sure they can, because they were able to play with a really good Oklahoma team last year that was better, and KU, I think, is better this year. Quarterback, it's a question, right?
I think Jalen Daniels out. It's got to be Jason Bean.
Yeah, I mean, Bean is playing well. Like, and everybody says, well, could Jalen Daniels have won the game? I'm like, Bean didn't do anything to lose you the game last week. So I think Bean is, you know, a very serviceable backup. I think that he's not going to put you into too many bad spots. I think for KU, they've got a shot in Norman. I don't think they win, but I think they keep it close.
I think what's really, really the tell is if Dylan Gabriel can play. If he plays, Oklahoma's got a chance. Without him, I don't think the Sooners have any hope.
Right. I mean, and especially after they got blasted last week by Texas. So
Kansas State's an idle team this week, and so they will have an open date. Number 10, Penn State, is going to be at number 5, Michigan, for all of you Big Ten folks like you guys.
Mm.
Alabama at Tennessee in a battle of number 3 and 6 Saturday afternoon at 2:30. Here's the big one, one I'm looking forward to, Oklahoma State TCU, the two undefeated teams. Matter of fact, there are three meetings of undefeated teams, 5-0 teams in the nation this week, and here's one of them.
Yeah, Oklahoma State at TCU, and how about this? The Frogs, a 4-point favorite at home against Oklahoma State. It's tough to argue that. I mean, right now the Frogs are playing really good football.
USC is going to be at number 20, Utah, 7 o'clock. I can't imagine anybody's watching it.
I'm not sure which game I care less about. Penn State at Michigan or USC at Utah. I mean, like, they both can chalk it up together.
Tell you what I care about, our upcoming sports schedule tomorrow night. We've got Atchison at Perry LeCompton, a 7 o'clock ball game here on Care Radio. And then Saturday, it'll be Central Methodist at Benedictine, 12:30 for the Care pregame, 1 o'clock for the kickoff from Wilcox Stadium. I want to thank Mike Paramore, AD, head coach at Pleasant Ridge High School, for joining us in Segment 3. Till we greet you tomorrow night for our Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience. For Gus Couch, Tom Couch. So long, everybody.